There we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We got a great show for you today. We're going to talk. First and foremost, let me say that we are in a state of emergency right now when it comes to our communities and understanding each other. There are some problems going on that is not being taken care of. There's some problems going on that we need to address. A lot of people want to call it a black-white issue. I don't call it that. Now, I will say there might be something that play into that, but I don't think it's all of that. I think there's a lot of things that's going on that really has the people in an uptight position right now, and where you're seeing all of these policemen versus citizen problems. It wasn't 24 hours yesterday after the show. We got off the show yesterday. It wasn't 24 hours, and I wake up this morning, and there's another senseless shooting. Another senseless shooting. And, you know, it makes no sense to why. It makes no sense to why we are having to experience this. I have no idea, guys, you know, what the remedy is. But I can tell you there are some issues that we really, truly need to look at. Where I'm going straight, before I even take a break, I'm going straight to the line. So, guys, bear with me. So, caller, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Can
welcome
you hear me,
show,
sir?
Caller. Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Okay. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Okay.
Okay, here's what I want to say, and this is absolutely no disrespect to you, but I want to tell you what my dad always told us growing up. He said, You will never be able to conquer a thing. You will never be able to confront it unless you have the wherewithal to identify what it is. Now, you said that it doesn't look like it's a black and white thing to you. But I'm gonna give you some real talk.
No, I said
what did
it
you
doesn't.
Say, then let me listen.
I said that it doesn't look like a black and white issue is all of what it is. I do think that there's a lot that play into that. But that's
well,
not my
let
only
me say
reason.
This. No, it is a black and white thing, and everything that happens up under the black and white thing are incidentals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm gonna give you some real talk from people that I know that live in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Never in the history of Minnesota has there been a white man who had a license to carry killed during a traffic stop. Never. Do you hear me?
I understand.
Never. Now, if you go to Minnesota, you will be there 2 or 3 days before you see a black couple. It is a biracial state.
Wow.
Every couple... You'll see the white man with his woman, but you will see the black man and the white woman. That is the major couple there. You won't even see a white man with a black woman. Now, having said that, I'm talking about from the footballers to the basketball players. Many
mm-hmm.
of them live in Minnesota. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about the prominent brothers with monies
mm-hmm.
in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this question. I'm so hurt. A man that was a supervisor at a cafeteria for a school The man doesn't have an arrest record. He don't have a rap sheet. Do you hear me?
I feel the same way you do.
The man has never been arrested. Hold up now. He is what the NRA says is the poster child for the individual, the American citizen, that should be able to carry a weapon to defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when they give you the law, when they give you the class, and they tell you how to react when you have a permit to carry, is when the officer walks up to your door and asks you to perform a certain task under the law. Remember? The Miranda rights, you have the right to be silent, so you only speak to him once he speaks to you. After he spoke to the gentleman, he said to him, the officer said he wanted to see his license. Before he reached in his pocket to get them, he said, "I have a permit to carry, and I am carrying."
Mm-hmm.
And he wet him up with bullets. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that I think I had a light bulb moment seeing all of this. And I was wondering why every commercial shows interracial relationships. You can't get away from it. On the gas station, everywhere, it's just being propelled forward. We understand that the media uses a tool called propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you that we are in such a weak, fragile position. Because here's the thing. If you continue to put those kinds of images forward, you are going to cause the women who have always historically been the foot soldiers for civil rights and any other movement. If you go online right now and see who's all out in the front with signs, I'm not talking about who's dancing and bullshit. I'm talking about who's out there with signs. Okay? Who's out there with literature trying to propel a message forward? You're going to see the black women. So I'm saying to you, that this is black and white, and it is for the purpose of erasing the black. Okay? That's what this is for. Anything else is incidental. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I saw that, I'm sorry?
I said I totally understand what you're saying.
When I saw that man, okay, what's going to be the, now you can't slander his name, you can't put up his rap sheet, okay? Now what's next? I'm going to tell you what's next. This is a lesson for the black community. Now, we're already damaged. We're not going to be able to get that black love back. That's going to take another 4 or 5 generations because too many people have seen things like Kyrie Irving giving a party saying only no black women allowed. But do you allow black women to boycott when they shoot your ass down? That's my question for Kyrie Irving and all these other brothers who are out here laughing. We are in a position right now. I'm talking about civil rights. I'm not talking about black power. I'm talking about civil rights right here. We are in a position right now that is so deadly and dangerous and sad that I saw a man on YouTube from the Congo that the United Nations sent here as political asylum crying because he said he want to go back to the Congo. It's just as deadlier here.
Wow.
Okay? And I'm saying what people need to do if they have any speck of dignity is get off of social media bashing the people that need to step forward for you. You know who I saw crying when both of these men were shot down? You know who I saw in the news? The black woman, his mama, his auntie said, "They killed my child and I'm not going to sleep." That man that they shot in Louisiana, they showed his mom and then they panned to his auntie and because she considers her sister's child as her child. I see what the media is doing now. They need to get, you only got one spade left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the black woman. And if they turn her against you, they're going to start shooting you down, not like dogs, but like rats and rabbits. If they can get her to stop holding up signs, to stop making people know, the sister had the wherewithal to stay calm and film the shit. Now, let me, I know what I'm going to say. Y'all not going to like it, but I just got to be real here, because when I saw that man get shot down like that for nothing, this shit is fucking awful. That same woman, she kept her head and she filmed that shit. That's the same woman these niggas get on social media and call a hood rat and talk about her weave. You brothers are looking fucking bad out here. Where are all the white women at? Niggas is getting shot down. Where are all the white women at? That's what I need to know. I'm tired of seeing black men get killed like dogs. This shit is painful.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. And I appreciate you calling. And I feel your pain. I do. I feel your pain. What do you see as a healing process for the black community? And how do we move forward from this? How?
They need to have some integrity. Don't say shit to another black person that you wouldn't say to your mama or your child or yourself. There's a difference in between calling people out. But you have done all this dirt, treated the women so badly. Now the women got to go out here and carry signs, miss work, bring their babies out in the line of fire, stand in front of the governor's mansion.
Wow.
Be respectful. That's what I'm saying. It starts with integrity. So because the community is so fractured now, you're not going to have, you know, the first thing they're going to think about is all that hurtful shit, this black gender war. That's what's going to come up in their heads. Why should I go out here? One nigga less to be talking about me on social media or acting stupid or trying to rob me or do something. I just know this. That they say storms come for correction.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that these brothers got killed like this. But
I
don't
do
think, if you don't believe in karma, that's on you. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe on it with all of my might. And there is a collective karma up on this earth. Okay? And it is harsh. Black men are being shot down, but there are other things that are going on that we just don't know, or let me say, we don't have the wherewithal to research what other people are dying of. Black folks are being shot down like dogs, but you need to find out what other people are dying of. And that should answer your question. Now, I'm just going to get on off the air because I'm upset, and I want to say this. It does not help to be bashing one another, because as from where I stand, every time these men get shot down, it's the woman out there crying. It's the woman all up in the police face. It's the woman at the governor's mansion. It's the woman. Where are all the white women at? That's all I'm saying. If there's brothers listening, you need to call in. Tell me where the snow bunny is when you're getting shot down. That's what I need to know. Thank you for your time. I'm going to continue to listen.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
The Smoke Depot, located at 117 North Myrtle School Road in Gastonia, North Carolina, is here to service all of your tobacco needs. From vapes to cigars, you can't go wrong with the Smoke Depot. For more information, call 980-320-1018. Again, that's 980-320-1018, the Smoke Depot, Gastonia's elite tobacco supplier.
Can you honestly look me in my face and tell me that when I come up here to your job, that you don't think it's for you.
I mean, really? Really?
You know what I'm trying to say? I want to see you. I saw you. Look in my way. I'm trying to free you. You want to get away any day? I'll be your relief. I ain't got tricks on my sleeve, but I got treats. We can cruise to the beach. If you in the muse, tell me where you want to be. I'll take you there. We can go anywhere. I mean, anywhere. I got time, shit. I'll be your night shine.
Yeah, this your boy Ace Boogie from Caked Up Records. Coming soon, Street Coalition, the mixtape. Yeah, so pro-rated.
We won't stop making love until you're done. We can Listening to Lively Day with Jay. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
Chicago and all you guys join us. We just need a little help, and I think we're almost there. But anyhow, we were talking to a young lady from Atlanta before the storm knocked us out of commission and caused all kind of havoc. But anyway, I think a lot of what she was saying was really validated, and I think that
some of
the things that she said was emotion, and I understand it. I understand it totally, because there are there's lots of emotions when it comes to this subject. There's lots of issues that we really need to look at, y'all. This is bad. This is bad. There is a problem. And there are people dying. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this at all. We're going to reach out to the phone line. You know, sir, Echo, you're on the air. Yeah. I want to real quick. I know you guys have probably heard young police officer. She has went viral. Her name is Nakia Jones. And as I hear the storm brewing up again behind me, I want to play a clip. I want to play what she had to say about the shooting. And I want to know if you feel the same way that she does. Number to call is 347-457-4045. Here's the clip of Nakia Jones, the police officer.
Nakia Jones. My son came home from work today and he showed me a disturbing video about a young man that was shot and killed by police in Louisiana. And it's so funny because my son wanted to go to college there. And I kept saying, I ain't feeling that or whatever. What's interesting is to me is that the shooting involved a police officer. And I watched the video over and over and over and over and over again so that I wouldn't become judgmental. Because not only am I a mother of two African-American sons, and I have African-American nephews, and I have brothers, I'm also a person that wears the uniform with the blue. I'm also the one that gives their lives and puts their lives in danger. I wear blue. So I'm looking at it, and I became so furious and so hurt because it bothers me when I hear people say, y'all police officers this, y'all police officers that, and they put us in this negative category when I'm saying to myself, I'm not that type of police officer. I know officers that are like me that will give their life for other people. So I'm looking at it, and it tore me up because I got to see what you all see. If I wasn't a police officer and I wasn't on the inside, I would be saying, look at this racist stuff. Look at this. And it hurt me. First of all, I became an officer in 1996. I grew up in the hood, so I ain't grew up in the suburbs. I grew up on 93rd in Kansas. We moved to East Cleveland, so I know what it is. So the reason why I became a police officer was to make a difference in people's lives. I knew what it was like to have a parent on drugs. I knew what it was like to watch people be picked on and bullied on and all kinds of things. I said, I want to make a difference. I want to be that change, so I became that change. So in 96, I took an oath in East Cleveland, sitting in front of Chief Guy, and said I would serve and protect my community by all costs, even if it meant I wouldn't go home to my one-year-old daughter. And that's what I did, and I did it with integrity and respect.
Nice.
The thing that hurt me most of all was that a lot of people that I was arresting were the same color as me, that grew up in East Cleveland like me, so I couldn't understand that. Why would you want to destroy your community? I couldn't understand. I said, okay, but they're not sworn to serve and protect either. They're not, they didn't take that oath. This is what they do. So then I left there and I came to another predominantly black community and became a police officer. I'm the first and only African-American female officer, and I can say that pride and respect. I sat in front of Marcia Fudge and took that oath that I would serve and protect my community. And I also moved into my community, and I raised my children in this community. I wear that blue uniform proudly. And I know for a fact I have six beautiful children that love me. And I have a husband. I have a family that loves me. And I know there's times I may not come home from work. I have taken guns off 15, 14, 13-year-old children. I'm talking about real guns. I've had to go and tell a mother that their 13-year-old son or daughter was not coming home. I've interviewed rape victims that's been raped by people that look just like me, the same color as me. We are running around killing each other left and right. But what hurts me the most is the people that stood in front of a judge and stood in front of a mayor and said, I swear my oath that I will serve and protect this community. And God, please forgive me, and you can delete me if you're getting mad at me. If you are white and you working in a black community and you are racist, you need to be ashamed of yourself. You stood up there and took an oath If this is not where you want to work at, then you need to take your behind somewhere else. I decided to work in an African-American community because I'm African-American and I wanted to make a difference. I could have worked in Parma. I could have worked in Lakewood. I could have worked in North Homestead. I'm a double minority. They would have got two hits for me because I'm African-American and I'm a female. I'm here because I wanted to make a difference. But how dare you stand next to me in the same uniform and murder somebody? How dare you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. So why don't we just keep it real? If you're that officer that know good and well you got a God complex, you're afraid of people that don't look like you, you have no business in that uniform. Take it off. If you're afraid to go and talk to an African-American female or male or a Mexican male or female then because they're not white like you, take the uniform off. You have no business being a police officer. Because there's many of us that would give our life for anybody. And we took this oath and we meant it. If you are that officer that's prejudiced, take the uniform off and put the KKK hoodie on. Because I will not stand for that. If you're an officer that works with me and you're wrong, I will tell you you're wrong. My heart goes out to that young man's family. Because if it was my son, I don't know what I would do. But to my brothers and sisters, my juvenile brothers and sisters, I am your keeper. Put them guns down, y'all. We killing each other. And the reason why all this racist stuff keeps going on is because we're divided. We're killing each other. We're not standing together. See, Martin Luther King them stood together. You didn't hear a bunch about a bunch of black people killing each other. We got to stand together because a house divided against each other will not stand. And we got to be smart. Don't mean go tearing up stuff. Be smart. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. That's why I'm going to keep this uniform on. Because today I wanted to quit when I saw that video. But I need for y'all to support the ones of us that are right. And I need for you to stand for those of us that are not right. I also need for y'all to become role models for our juveniles. Y'all, they're killing each other left and right. I'm telling you. And people that don't really want us to exist are sitting back laughing because they're saying, look at them destroy each other. Yeah, we'll have a police shooting here or there, but we're not going to talk about the millions of black men that are killing each other left and right. Put the guns down. The most powerful, fearful, potent person in the world is an intelligent black man. Men, I need for y'all to stand up. Get these young men, mentor them, teach them. And then when you see that one of us are doing something wrong, and I'm not telling you, you know when you're wrong, and you know when you're dealing with the police, and we got to do our job because we have to do our job. But when we do something that you know is wrong, you need to speak up. You need to go speak to a chief. You need to go sit down and talk to the mayor. I'm not talking about just because I don't want you to tell me what to do. I'm talking about something serious, y'all. Again, this is my thoughts. If you get upset, delete me. This is my Facebook page. God bless.
That was the most honest rebuttal that I've heard thus far about the incident that's gone on. And, you know, I want you to take, for instance, one thing that she said. Imagine it's your child. Forget the black and white, forget the whatever basis you think happened, caused this to happen. Sit back and think about your own children and think about if this was your child. How would you feel? What would you want to see happen? She talked about some things that were very, very, very important. Black men, she said, we got to be role models. We got to be mentors. That goes for black women, too. We got to be mentors to these kids because they are hurting right now. They're lost. You know, I know we've had some weather issues during this broadcast today, but we're back on. We've been back on for you know, quite some minutes now. I invited a lot of black leaders that I know just through Facebook, to come on this show and talk, to come on this show, give the people some reassuring words that we are not going to stand by and just let and not at least try to figure out why this is happening. to not at least try and figure out what we can or how we're going to be able to stop this from happening to the younger people that are beneath us now. Because isn't that what this is all about? Aren't we paving a way for our young people now? I don't understand it. And you know what? I have no black leaders on here right now. And I don't understand that. But yet and still, I listen and I watch Facebook all day, which is something I really don't like to do. I watched it all day and I read all the rhetoric. I read all the most intelligent people who have all these ideas of why things happen, what should happen, what we need to do. But I don't hear them now. I'm giving you a platform. I'm giving you a stage to say some of the things that you want to say, to get off your chest how you feel right now. I'm giving you that stage. But yet and still, we tend to hide behind Facebook. We tend to hide behind our words versus our true feelings and actions. This is bad, y'all. We got to have, you know, yesterday we had a lot of people, well, we had a few people saying some things about that we need to not make things worse than what they are when we get pulled over. I understand that. And if we're riding dirty, we don't need to aggravate the police any more than what they're aggravating. But what do you say to the young man up in Minnesota? He wasn't riding dirty. He was riding clean. What do you say to him? What do you say to people like him? What do you say to their family? Now's not the time to go run and hide behind a rock. Now's the time we grab our young people and teach them whatever we need to teach them to make sure that they're not in this position. I got boys. I don't want to see my kids in this position. Who does? I can only imagine what the parents of both of these young men feel like right now. I can't imagine. I woke up this morning and I just watched my children sleep. They don't have that luxury no more. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Number call 347-945-7405. Caller, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's happening, Metro? What's going on, Metro?
Not much, man. Hey, but you're right, though. It's crazy out here nowadays. These cats are crazy. I heard you earlier say something like riding dirty. It don't even matter if you're riding dirty or not. Like, they'll find a way to put something on you. Riding dirty don't even matter. Like, you know, I hear people all the time saying, well, he should have been doing this. Or, like, they had a picture on Facebook saying, well, they shouldn't have worn a hoodie. Or they should have been out late. It doesn't matter, man. I live in a nice suburban neighborhood in Gastonia. If I'm standing on that corner at the stop sign too long and a cop ride by, I can tell them I live in the neighborhood. That don't mean nothing to them, man, because they still going to get out. They still going to see me with this black skin, and they still going to say something to me. It doesn't matter. They're not going to be like, if I was white, and I'd be like, look, sir, I live right here. I'm going to stay outside on the phone. They don't care about that. I like a threat because I'm a big black guy, and they going to come and say something.
Let me play a little devil's advocate. Let me play a little devil's advocate. And please excuse the lingo devil's advocate, but let me play it. Okay. Wonder if it wasn't totally about you being black. Wonder if it was about the negligence of the hiring process of the police department. Because this is what I think needs to happen. I think I think they need to change the age limit of becoming a police officer.
For sure.
I think you need to have a level of maturity. I think they need to go through an extensive psychological exam. If they're doing it, then I don't know about it. I think they do. Because listening to the police officer after he shot this young man in Minnesota, after he shot
him,
and I need to call him by his name, Philando. After he shot Philando, he continued to yell. And mm-hmm. and it appeared that the man was not in a stable mind.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's an excuse, because it's not. You are a police officer. Before you pull your gun out on somebody and shoot them, I don't know how that feels. I don't know how it feels to be put in that predicament. But
right.
what I do know is this is happening too much. This is happening too much.
Too much.
And I'm gonna talk to the black community right now. And for the black community to not take this as an ultimate warning and get our stuff together and stop being so negative to one another and start looking
mm-hmm.
at how we are going to stop this situation, where there's lots more we're probably going to see.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for those who've gone, like the young lady from Atlanta just called a little bit ago. Like she said, I feel sorry for those that get on Facebook and play the blame game without solutions.
Uh-huh.
You got to have solutions.
Yeah, them the ones I don't like.
You have young boys. What do we do? How does it make you feel knowing that this is happening?
Man. And another thing, when you said that, when you said I got young boys, I don't even worry about them, Jay, because I worry about myself. I worry about do I make it back home to them. That's what I worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they got, I ain't going to say they got time, but they 7 and 6. I'm 30. This man was 37 years old that died down in New Orleans, went down in Baton Rouge. I worry for myself. Will I make it back home to my kids? I'm scared for my kids that I may not be here for them, and I'm the only parent that they have. Like they don't have their mom, you know what I'm saying? This is me. So when I go in the streets every day, as far as going to work or going to the studio, doing music, promoting, you know, selling CDs or whatever, what if a cop just say, you know what, we don't want them out there today, and you know, something may happen. I worry about myself making it back home. You know what I'm saying? And I'm scared daily, because I'm more scared of the blue gang called the police than I'm scared of any Crip blood. Anybody else that, you know, claiming a gang or whatever, they the most lethal gang in the world. Because the reason why they the most fierce gang in the world, the most lethal gang in the world, because of a blood or a Crip kill somebody, I know what the end result for them is, and it's jail. Now, they may not stay there long, but they're in prison. But when a police officer kills somebody, that's a whole nother ball game. Because we done seen too many times, they ain't standing, they ain't going to jail. They ain't doing that. Some kind of way, they're going to find a way to get out of it.
But just like the young lady, I'm still playing advocate right now. Just like the young lady said, we all, I have friends that are police officers. And there's no way that they would ever do something like this. So like I stated yesterday, we have police officers standing up and saying, this is wrong.
But you ain't gonna have it,
y'all classifying all of us?
Yeah. You're not gonna have. But you're not gonna have too many people say it's wrong. That's the problem with the police officer. Like the radio host said up in New York, I think it was New York or Atlanta. He said the problem that he has with police officers, they never want to point the finger to the other police officer because they always want to protect the shield. They don't ever want that shield to look bad. Like, nah, dude. If he's a bad cop, say he's a bad cop.
So that's like the snitching code.
Y'all more.
That's like the snitching code in the community.
Yes. They're scared of telling each other because they know.
Snitch on each other.
Right. Which, you know, that's been like that for years. But, that's been a problem. That's been a problem. Not snitching. That's a problem. It's more of a problem than it is as a help. But I guess you're scared for your life, so you choose to keep your mouth closed.
Yeah, but why do we walk around here? And you know, that makes me double angry with some of our religious leaders. They walk
mm-hmm.
around in fear of saying something, and then they'll tell you that they are fully covered by the blood of Jesus or by the words of the covenant or whatever the case may be. They'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not saying nothing. They're not stepping up. They're trying to fix this problem in the community.
Well, that's why I asked my pastor yesterday. I sent him a him a message. Well, I know one thing. My my homeboy came to me today named Terry Floyd. Everybody may know him named Terry Floyd, a.k.a. House. We trying to get a summit together, Jay. We trying to get a team summit together. We trying to get a platform to where we can talk to young people, talk to parents, you know, try to do what you're doing, invite these so-called leaders out to let people know that it's going to be okay and try to formulate a plan. Like, what can be a plan for us to where we can try to, you know, have some common ground? I don't know if we're going to have police come in and talk to them, let them know it's going to be okay, because obviously you can't trust the police right now because, you know, they're trying to take guns away from us as people, but they the one who killing us, though. I mean, they the ones who is really killing us. So, I don't know.
Right now is the perfect time to reach out to policemen. Right now is the perfect time, because the way they should be thinking is, hey, we need to make sure that everybody know it's not all of us. So they should be willing and ready to speak to the community. That's what they should be doing right now. And I know, man, there's issues, because I said, you know, I cry when I see that. I mean, it's that sad. That's sad. Because I think about myself. I think about that me. And my sons, me, which they always are, and I get shot up like that in front of my wife and my kids. Man, what does that do to them?
Right.
You know?
They'd be devastated. I mean, if something like that happened to you, they'd be devastated. So you watching that happen to your dad? I mean, that would tear somebody up.
So what do we do? You know, I don't know.
That's a good question. What do we do? That's a good question.
I want to be involved with this summit.
Okay.
Definitely want to be involved.
Well, we're supposed to have. Okay.
Stay on here.
Okay.
Carl, welcome to the show. You on?
Hello?
980 area code. You on?
This is me. How you doing, Mr. Muhammad? This is Tanja and Ernest Owens from way back in the day.
How are you guys doing? How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing well. I'm going to try to put you on speaker so Ernest can chime in too.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hello?
How you doing, brother?
You're here. I'm good. Thank you, bro. How you doing? I hate that we're talking on these type of terms, but tell me a little bit about what you guys feel about things going on right now nationally and what we can do in our communities now to start alleviating something.
I'll tell you, we kind of come at it from a different point of view. You know, our story from being involved with, you know, a situation with being in an altercation with officers ourselves. The interesting thing on this was our issue was actually involved a black cop.
Tell the story a little bit, but go ahead.
You know, I think the thing is, when it starts with us, we actually have to go back to our roots. And when I say our roots, you know, we talk about, you were saying, people say they're covered in the blood of Jesus or whatever religion they're in, you know, you know, we fall on it. We say, hey, we pray for this one. Something happens, but we don't mean it. We don't mean it. We taking God out of school. And we support that. You know, we talk about politics and we blame one side, and if we're on the other side, we blame that side. And, you know, one thing that really struck me is we can sit here and we can have a sit-in at the house over a shooting that happened in Orlando. And, you know, we've seen We Shall Overcome. But we don't hold these same politicians accountable. These same politicians that claim to have the black community back, we don't hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the young lady earlier today, and she was talking about the quote-unquote snow bunnies, and I understand her anger with that. But I was asked to go to the polls and vote for the snow bunnies to get into office to change these laws. We don't do that. Yet we vote for these people and we don't hold these same people accountable. They get up there and they make a Facebook post and they tweet this and tweet that and they don't do anything. We all don't hold them accountable. We say, well, you know, our president, he's the president for everybody. Well, sometimes it doesn't seem like that. If this was George Bush, we would get on TV and say, George Bush doesn't care about black people. That's what we think. So I think it's the thing about not drinking the Kool-Aid all the way around. You have two wings of the same bird, and the main issue is neither side looks at us as a people. But yet, I can go and I can look around and I can see all these black faces on TV with their hands up and Hillary Clinton with her black firewall. When, if she was a black person, she would be in jail right now. But yet, I would hear about Trump more. Don't we know what Trump stands for? Why are we not holding account the person who has a black firewall? And those are some of the basic things that I think that is wrong. We taught our community that, hey, you do the politics, but you do it on one side. Nowhere in that do we talk about getting back to our base, getting back to having a good, strong home, upbringing.
Right.
And whatever we may believe. Because you know what? If you're a true believer, it's certain things you do not stand for.
That's right.
You do not stand and you do not watch someone get shot and you record it on a camera.
True.
However right or wrong it may be, that may be for me to deal with God afterwards. I cannot sit and watch that go on. Why? Because it is wrong. So you have all these people saying this, that, and the third, but that happens in front of people. Case in point, in the situation where the cops jumped me and assaulted me, I had kids running out to stop it. I had a white guy run out to stop it who didn't care what happened to them. So once we start to understand that the whole basis of the enemy is to separate us, then maybe we can start coming together. Because right now we feed into it. We feed into it with the sexism. You know, well, it's a woman's world now. You know, it's all about women. It's the feminism movement. It's this movement. It's that movement. Make America great again. You know, are we saying make America racist again? I don't know.
All right.
These are all of the vice of methods that the enemy is using against us, and we just feed right into it. You know, as I recall, in the true movement, in civil rights, you have people getting beat, getting called nigger lovers.
Right.
On top of black people being water holes, having the dogs sticked on them, whips and chains. But yet we think sticking our own emotions and giving some buzz phrase rhetoric is going to solve things. And then I hear people saying, yeah, we got to vote. We got to vote the white people in. We can't vote the racists in. How do we know who the racists are?
Exactly.
We're dealing with people who are looking to be elected, and we don't hold them accountable. But we look at everybody else and say what's wrong with them. Well, you shouldn't jump on him because this is the whole problem. Why we can't be together and come as one. No, that's very, very so much not the problem. The problem is you have corruption from the top like you have always had, and it trickles down, and we never cut the head off the snake. We keep trying to cut the snake's tails off. That's what we keep trying to do. You know, we don't go to the head. We don't look at the fact that, honestly, some of these police are trained to do what they're doing. I have a young lady who I've coached and mentored, and tan, and they're going into the police force. Beautiful young people. They're not looking to go into this. I don't want to see them out there attacked because all officers are bad. Because that's something we know got to be true.
Right.
But the thing is, we feed into what the media shows us, and we only look at one side. The media shows us this, the media shows us that, you know, and they don't show the truth. Well, when are they showing us the truth and when are they showing us a lie? To me, it's about chaos. And right now, what the powers that be are doing is creating chaos. And what happens is we feed into it. These brothers did not deserve to die at no cost. You know, we talk about, you know, the black women are the ones up there and this, that, and the third, and that's a little of what I'm talking about. There's no need to separate because, you know what, I'm a black man who was beat by cops. Do you know when that happened last night, I rode to the store and I cried. And everybody I saw, I told them, you be safe out here, brother.
Yes.
So once we start separating and doing what the powers that be want us to do, and get out of our own emotions or personal experiences and understand that as a whole we have to come together and treat people right. That's the beginning. Because guess what? Those cops come from home too. But just like us, they are mind controlled and they drink the Kool-Aid that they see on the media, that they hear in their homes, that they see in their everyday dealings. In whatever communities they are, whatever communities they station in.
But let me ask you this, though. And I hear you, and I understand, and I agree with a lot with what you said. At the end of the day, in your opinion, were these two incidents unavoidable?
Can you repeat that?
With this that's happened in the last 2 days, could they have been avoidable?
Of course.
Yes. Yes.
They should have been avoided. This is no indictment on Philando or Austin in no form. To be honest, these brothers are just minding their own business. And that is the issue when you're dealing with a systematic issue. It's a thing where we're at war and don't even know it. So we're not even equipped. There's a war going on and we have no clue.
Yeah, and you know what? Taking you saying that, I read a lot of Mayo Tae Sung's The Art of War. And the very first rule he said is if you're late to the battleground, you already lost war. And right now, I think we're late. Right now, I think we're unequipped. I think we are not ready to tackle the issues that need to be tackled right now. Our young people, man, they need some leaders. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm about sick and tired of the pastors in the ministers in the mosque, whoever else who call themselves religious leader, I'm about sick of them. They're not stepping to the challenge. The only time you see is when it comes to be Sunday and Friday. That's the only time I'm starting to hear from them. And it's starting to be very annoying because I see them on this, not playing to love and to help the community, but I don't see anybody in the church doors to me to look we need to talk to the community. We need to strategize with the community. This way. What to do and what not to do. I don't see nobody in the mosque don't need to come in.
Well, you know, Mr. Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad, you're 100% right, and I'm going to say this last thing for all that sand habit. To be honest, it goes back to me to the 30 pieces of silver. You know, when you're 501(c)(3) and you can't say certain things because your money going to be taken, you're not going to hear it. And I know that may piss somebody's people off, but it does, who cares? The truth of it is, you know, you sold your soul for 30 pieces of silver. And guess what?
Yeah.
We're in inflation, so it might even be five cents. We don't know what it is, but you're selling your souls. But yet these are people that we go to, and they're supposed to counsel us. They're supposed to this. They're supposed to that. How about we just stop believing in man? And that's a big issue that I see right now. We'll have all this stuff going on, and we have all these people that are so upset and all these different things going on, but yet we'll sit here and say, hey, we need to listen to whichever politician's saying that we need to give our guns up. So the police and everybody who are real criminals can just kill you.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, as a black person born and raised in America, knowing the history, and maybe that's the issue, not knowing the true history, how you can willingly give up on.
And a lot of people don't know.
This young brother sat here with a license, and he gets gunned down. He gets gunned down.
Mr. Muhammad, I think it's a wake-up call for us with these things that are happening.
I do, too.
We kind of got lulled into thinking about that we're safe and that the struggle was over. So I think we kind of stopped fighting a little bit, and I think this is a wake-up call. And, you know, if I would have to say a solution, like, we gotta come together. Like, everybody don't have to agree. And that's something this propaganda is making people think. They trying to divide us into sides and factions. Like, that's their stuff. That's their work, okay? We don't have to agree on everything to come together, because guess what? We all got a common problem. We all got a common enemy that any given day, one of us can be shot down.
Right.
Like you said, we got kids. You a man. I have a husband. You know, I'm concerned. I pray over my husband when he goes to work, because you never know. So
you
we
never
all
know.
Need to come together, and we have to have a common enemy. And just like Ernest said, like, we can't believe, we can't look towards the, I'm doing air quotes now, leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We got to come together. We can come together. You know, they will consider all of us everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're doing something extraordinary, taking from yourself to do, to try to educate people and try to, you know, help your community. You are a leader. You are a leader because you're doing this.
I can remember. There was a time where we would walk the streets. We would walk the streets in Dallas as young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember there's times where the chief of police, he would come and he would stop and he would sit and he would talk to us. I mean, he knew our parents. He knew everything about us.
Mm-hmm.
He would sit and talk to us, ask us what we're doing, ask us how our parents are doing, our grandparents, whatever the case may be, ask us how we're doing in school. And, you know, and we didn't have this problem. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have this problem growing up as a young kid. I didn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when we
mm-hmm.
start, when we started to advance, I'll tell you where the problem started. When we started to advance, and when technology started getting the best of us,
right?
We chose not to in our own community. Not to put with the, and I think we are too with our young people drop out of school, and with teenage pregnancy, with drugs in our community, with teenage prostitution and an alarming rate in our communities. We're too complacent with those things.
Right. We don't care,
so,
and you know, something I think about too is, like, we don't care how we're portrayed on TV either. When you got all these,
you're right,
you know, reality shows and things like that portraying us a certain way, like, it makes me sick to my stomach. as a woman, as a black woman, as a female.
You're
to
right.
To be seen to be portrayed this way, and that's why I said, like, we gotta come together, and we gotta shake off this. I don't even know what to say. We gotta shake off this mentality that, like, really isn't even our culture. Like, that really isn't even us.
But what is us? What is us? I don't even. What is us? What are we supposed to be doing right now that we're not doing, that's got all of this ruckus going on in the black community? And, you know, and for the listeners out there, I don't want
Katie,
you to think that this only, I don't want you to think, hold on a second.
Challenging of your life,
hold on,
and that
hold on,
this
hold on a second.
Reflected your basketball
okay.
career, but also your growth as a man.
I don't want you to think that just because I'm talking to the black community, that that's the only community I think that is under siege right now, that is having issues. There, we probably have it in all of our communities, but it is being most vocal. It is being shown too much in the black community with the black male, and it's a problem. And, you know, and I know I got people out there who saying, well, you know, who is he to say that all of this is going on in the black community is not being addressed? Well, hello, look on the news.
What?
If it was being addressed, we would have some strong leaders in the community. There's no leaders in it anymore. All the leaders in the community who call themselves leaders are looking to get paid what they're supposed to do, and that's to look after one another.
Exactly.
So at some point in time, we got to understand that I need to be a part of that percent that set these children up for failure, and that they run into a brick wall after we're gone.
Right.
We stopped being a community. We stopped having it to where it took a village to raise a child, and we say, hey, I'm going to do it on my own. Don't you tell my child nothing, that's my child. But you can't
you know,
say
it,
that.
It's ridiculous.
The right word. I can't say that. I can't tell you that you're not doing a good job. I'm doing everything
right.
I can. You know what? As a parent that tries their hardest to do the best they can, I know that's a lie because we always feel like we can do better. All of us always feel like we can do better. But what do you say to these parents who have kids that did absolutely nothing and now they're dead?
No, I don't know what to say, and I appreciate y'all coming on Chicago a little bit. And, you know, just I was saying something that Dick Gregg was talking about. It talked about that I'm back and blessed. They go home. And for something out of their reach, and this is the love that they have learned to accept. That beer and weed and all that is more important than their own livelihood, like their own livelihood to their parents, and it's being commonly accepted. And I'm gonna tell you something else. Not only is it being commonly accepted in communities, but they are school systems that expect our children to be ghetto because of where they live, their circumstances they're in, their financial status, and the level of their parents' education. And we're seeing these things. But we, same people who have small IQ or have the little means of finances in their home are the same ones that will go to these mega churches and mega mosques and will give all their money. And listen to leadership of someone that they can't call when they need real help. That's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem. And we have this problem going on, and I still have not heard any of the leaders in this area stand up and say, look, this is what we need to do to try to help people understand or bridge the gap between local law enforcement and the community, because there has to be a common bridge, man. I mean, I understand that we're seeing that the policemen are doing this, and these are some rogue cops. They're rogue that's doing this. And I know all of them are not like that. I know they're not. But we need those that are not like this to stand their behinds up and talk and speak and say, this is not right. This is not right. We want to do this the right way.
I mean, I definitely agree with you, and I think that we can, and I think we can come, people can come together, people who care, you know what I'm saying, who people who want to make a difference, because it's about making a difference. You can go and protest all day long, but if it doesn't make a difference and it doesn't change anything, then that's kind of like a waste of time. But the people who care and want to get together, and, you know, we can hit the ground running, we can reach out, and we you know, I don't want to put my religion into this, but righteousness will bring righteousness together. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if we go out in the right mind, then the right ones will come, and we can work together. And I believe it. I feel like we can't give up. You know what I'm saying? We can't give up until we're dead to make a difference, because I believe on, you know, I feel like just with us coaching, we made a difference. It didn't show until later on when people came back and say thank you, but I feel like we can make a difference.
And on top of that, with the officers that we're asking, that we're holding accountable to go and to speak out and stand up, however unpopular it may be, we have to be honest, we have to support them.
Right.
Because we cannot forget that those are the same officers that will go to the next call when there is a murder in progress, and they will not get answered because they stood against the powers.
Right.
So we can't sit there and hold them accountable as a whole and then have the one step out, and the next thing, we like to use rhetoric, and we say, well, that's the good cop. We need more of them. Okay, but now what are we doing to support the ones that are good?
Right.
Because they have a family they want to go home to, but now they stepped out on a limb and said, hey, this is not right. So what kind of support are they going to get from the same people like us who are saying this situation has got to stop? So
I agree with you.
So that's what I'm saying, the total coming together has to be at. We can, it's all right to be emotional, but saying not. I understand everybody has this thing, us the police, blah, blah, blah. It's like I said, we got young ladies who went into this force. You have friends.
Right.
All of us know somebody.
Right.
So, no, I don't want you thinking like that, and then you have the mindset that it's okay to shoot one of our baby girls in the head. And not even just ours. Other people, they got families. But that doesn't, we don't want to take away from the situation. You have these thugs with badges running around feeling like it's okay. Why? Because it has been okay, and it continues to be okay. That something has been okay since George Washington was in office all the way to now. We can have the Justice Department all they want to. Like I said before, it just doesn't make me feel have faith in you when I'm looking at somebody who, if they were black, was in jail. So it's just
that's
a thing where let's stop looking at, you know, let's stop looking at the foolishness. You know, everybody wants to come and talk about these hot-button subjects when these things happen. But then 90% of your day is looking at fights on Facebook or looking
that's
at the
right.
drama or watching Hip Hop Atlanta or this, that, and the
that's
third.
Right.
But
then
we want to come and we have something so eloquent to say. No.
And you brought up something. You brought up something really good when you said when you gave that little rundown. I have to take a break right quick. I'm gonna come back, and I want to share something with you. But I'm gonna come back. Metro, stay on board. All right.
Yes, sir.
Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
there's a new taste coming to town, and it's called Crispy Crunchy Chicken. That's right, Crispy Crunchy Chicken, located at the Lucky 7 Food Mart on 2230 North New Hope Road in Gastonia, North Carolina. On September 30th, the rich Cajun recipe of Crispy Crunchy Chicken will invade your taste buds, and remember, you buy, we fry. Crispy Crunchy Chicken, coming to a mouth near you. Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact Health Consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Tanja Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.bodybyvi.com.
Listening to Lively Day with Jay. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
You still with me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to share a little something with you guys. On yesterday's show, we talked about how we are always against one another. Why we pass back to the criminal community and tell telling you, there are some crab in the biz I know. And some of them are, but, you know, it is what it is. But I found it. I got off the air. He had gotten, and he told me, he said, go ahead and put your stuff on my counter. And I did. And I asked him, what was he like? Yeah, I just thought, she was picking us out. She needed on skin in my eyes. And he was like, oh, no, I just asked him to put me. I didn't know I was here for it. And I was like, all right, what else I had. He says, let's pay for it too. He says, we need to learn to start paying it for the window. And what made me feel so much better. We have it in us. We have it in us to do for one another. We have it in us to be there for one another, not in times of grief, but I'm talking about all the time. And we just have to find the blueprint to make that part of our everyday lives so that we don't have to wait until times like this to come together, or we don't even have to experience times like this, because we will be so tight that those who want to break us will see that we're unbreakable. They will see that. There is hope. Metro,
say that one more time.
I said you're wrong.
Okay. I heard some of that what you said, but it was like freezing, so I couldn't hear everything that you said.
It's okay.
I know
it's
you said
okay.
There is hope.
There is. There is hope for us. There is hope for us.
Yes.
There is hope.
Mean, yeah, there is. There is.
What do you want to see happen us to get this? I'm definitely running up against time. I just want you to leave a little something.
I mean, I would like to see us as a people to come together. I just like to see us as a people come together. I like for our, you know, so-called leaders to really have a plan and movement. Like, you know, Malcolm X did, like a Martin Luther King Jr. had a plan and movement for us. I like for, you know, new leaders to rise up and come up with something, like bring these teams together. I'm going to tell you right now, they picking us off. Not like, you know, when I say that, I'm not saying it's only killing us, but, you know, going to jail and everything else. They giving us reason to go, and we taking the bait and going. And so we got a lot of, you know, fatherless kids out here. So we need to find ways to come together and help as a community to raise each other kids. And like the guy that was on earlier saying, if us not to get so much in our feelings when somebody try to correct your child. You know, if somebody's correcting your child in a good, healthy way, we should embrace that and have and take and let people do more of that. It's one thing if somebody try to correct your child and they was being negative or they was being harmful to your child, they was getting your child for no reason. There's a difference. But if somebody's really been a good, healthy role model for your child, getting on them about something that should not really be going on, we should really come back and let the community help raise the child. That's the only way we're going to get back to things. Because right now, the way we're doing it, we live in real reckless being black in America. I mean, we got a real reckless attitude right now. And so we can lose that and humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves. Because right now, we just, I can do what I want to do because it's mine. Or it's my page. I can put what I want to put out there. I can say what I want to say. You're right. You can. You'll keep on dying, too.
Yeah, but you know what? Even though we're reckless sometimes,
mm-hmm.
even though we hate on one another, even though we have a past, even
mm-hmm.
though our past is not always in the best of conditions, it never, and I mean never, constitutes death.
No, never. Now, you're right about that. Never. Never. But I'm just saying, like, I guess we got to be smart because we know the end goal is, we see it. I'm on a debate right now with somebody on Facebook saying that we never talk about black-on-black crime. I'm like, dude, yes, we do. But we know the end goal. We know that we going to get killed and nothing's going to happen. Because if nothing happened this time, I mean, what are you going to say to us? I mean, you're not
That's
giving
right.
us no hope at all if that keep happening. If
right.
nothing happens to these police officers this time, there's hope. Because we do, despite if you like them or not, there's always going to be hope because we have a black man in office, in the highest office in the land. So there's always going to be hope. But it get real slim when we keep having things like this happen. Like you said, the guy, what's his name up in Minnesota?
You talking about the young man, Philando?
Yeah, Philando. He had a license to carry a weapon. And he said, I'm reaching for my wallet. What the officer asked when you shot him anyways. I mean, it get real slim with hope when you see stuff like that happen. Because I carry a
That's
gun.
Right.
I don't carry it as much anymore, but I got license to carry a gun. And, you know, I hate to tell an officer, hey, I got a gun, but I'm reaching for my wallet, and he mistakenly reaching for something else, and that happens. I mean, so I don't really carry my gun no more because it's just, for what? It's dangerous for me to carry it and protect myself than it is if I just leave it at home. So at least I know I'm protected from silly things like that to happen.
Man, I appreciate you coming on the show. I got one more call I'm going to take. You got 30 seconds. I'll reach out to you off the air, Metro. I appreciate you.
All right.
One more call. You got 30 seconds. Caller, welcome to the show. You on? I guess they're not. So, in saying all the things that we said today, Mr. and Mrs. Owens, you guys still on? I want to leave you, give you 30 seconds to say anything that you need to say.
We still here, and I would have to say, you know, tell the young brothers, like, don't give up hope, because that's what they want you to do, and if you do that, then they win. So they want to break us down and, you know, have us give up. We don't want to do that.
That's right. I was also excited to remember, no matter what you believe in, the one thing that we know is true is we don't battle against flesh and blood. Like, we
That's
need to
right.
start fighting these principalities. And, I mean, that means doing spiritual warfare. That doesn't mean saying I'm going to pray for somebody. That means actually praying for these people. That means praying for your family. That means actually doing right, being there for your kids. We need to build a strong community, and that starts with yourself. You want to change the world, you got to change yourself. And that is
That's
something
right.
that, you know, regardless of what, I cannot tell you that would have helped in these situations. Well, you got to start somewhere. And you can't look at everybody as the enemy because they will look at you the same way.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? I appreciate you guys coming on the show. There you go. I will definitely reach out to you again, all right? All right.
Definitely appreciate you.
As I tell you, that's great. That's the love of God. Because you see each and every. You guys be safe. And tune in to tomorrow's show when you live in a day with Jay. Peace. Cool J, 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 cool J. Peace, Facebook.